The Gospel according to St. Luke. Out of the first chapter, I would pick up verse 11 and read down through verse 20 for your consideration. The first chapter of St. Luke, beginning at verse 11, the Bible reads, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife's well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Supporting scripture coming from Paul's writing to the Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject. Don't never question God about your season. Don't never question God about your season. To do a little more work than we do, than we have been doing on the outside, I think we'll be a better people this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. What is it? What is it that's on the inside? Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody know? Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost working on the inside. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside, then that's what helps you. Whenever you make that statement that I almost said the wrong thing, the Holy Ghost on the inside grabbed hold of your flickering tongue and allowed you to hold your peace just one more time. Somebody has found out that the Lord will fight your battle. But you got to let God fight the battle. You got to take your hands off of it. And you just got to let go and let God have his way. Too many times in our life, we allow circumstances and our situations at hand to dictate to us how we are going to behave ourselves. But we must know this morning that there is a God that loves us more than we even love ourselves. And I thank God this morning for the love of Jesus, for allowing us another opportunity just to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And as we come this morning, we come by the grace of a mighty God, a God that have allowed us to unify our forces together in worship and in praise to sort of just lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And then we find that even in a time such as this, a time where we should be happy and full of joy, a time where we are anticipating a celebration, and as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, we find that this particular time of year, we make a special effort to spread the love of Jesus
to try to bring the joy and the peace amongst all mankind. And it's sad that the enemy has robbed the minds of so many of our brothers and sisters that it is turning our joyous season into a season of mourning and sadness. A season of uncertainties and despair. A season where many are troubled on every hand, but even in the midst of all the joy, all of the excitement, all of the things that our children are looking forward to, this season has been dampened by the enemy. And what we've got to do as believers, we got to stand together as one body in Christ. As we talked last week, how Jesus made it possible for the Jews and the Gentiles to become one body. And all of that body belongs to the power of a mighty God. And even as we sit here and we pray their strength in the Lord, we realize that many families are yet still grieving. They would never know the unexplainable why. Why did it have to happen? Nobody will be able to find out exactly why. But when we think about it, we realize that in our schools, in our malls, in our theaters, and yes, even in our churches, anything could happen at any given moment. As we've heard all the many things that people are thinking and people are trying to put something together, but can't nobody put it together? Those of us that love our children, and it doesn't matter whether it's in Connecticut or whether it's in Davidson County, a child is a child. And for any individual, whether a child or adult, to just lose his or her life senselessly, there is no explanation. There's nothing that could justify. There's nothing that could make you feel good about the matter. Even the mere fact that many of these people that are being robbed by the enemy are taking their own lives, that is still no justification as to what has happened. But here we sit. Here we sit that everything is all right with us and with ours, and other than some sicknesses and a little bit of trouble here and there, a little shortage on money and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, seemingly everything is all right. Where is our praise? Why does it take tragedy and death for us to come together as one body in Christ? Why is it that we can't pray ye one for another just on a general rule, but it's got to be something that has happened that sort of sparked off our prayer line? But the Bible declares that we need to pray without ceasing. If there ever was a time that we need to pray, it's right now. As we journey through what we call this holiday season, it is still a season to be merry. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of what joy you got left. It doesn't mean that you don't care because life goes on. But what it says is that you got to have an understanding that there are some things that you have no control over. And we serve a God that is in power and have control. And God allows certain things to happen. And I dare not question God as to why. But we always trying to find an answer. We always want to know the whys in life. There are some things that you just don't need to know. Sometimes you can't even answer for yourself. Why do you act the way that you act? Why do you not give God your all in all? Why do you just seemingly go through the motions? And as good as God has been to us, why is it that when we say that the Lord has been good to all of us, and yet we sit down on God? It's all right to have a compassionate heart and to sit there and watch the television and tears run down your face and you know that your crying didn't do nobody no good. We are so trusting. And a lot of times we hear, even early this morning, they're still talking about it and talking about the man's mind and talking about how his parents raised him, and that the mother could have seen this and the mother could have seen that. There's something you can't see. When the enemy grabs hold of you, there's nobody but the power of Jesus that can grab you and draw you back in and keep you from doing what you ought not be doing. As you watched, and they showed different children as they interviewed them, but did you notice that the children wasn't psyched out? Death and tragedy has become too familiar. God Almighty. These children see so much abuse, so much fighting and cussing and no love nowhere, to where it's almost second nature. And we sit down with our holy and sanctified selves, and everything is going to be all right, and hallelujah anyhow, and we're going on to heaven one day. But let me tell you something. On your way through, we're going to have to give it an account. When we don't take the time out to throw our arms around that baby girl or that baby boy and let him know that you don't have to be one of those that in the statistics. You can be one of the few. You see, what draws a lot of us away from danger and trouble is nothing but mere love. That's why so many of them are hurting. Because they don't know what real love is. We talk about celebrating the birth of Jesus. The only reason Jesus was allowed to be born was out of love. The Bible declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But in order for him to give him, he had to allow him to be born. We want to be all that. Sometimes we act like we are better than other folk because we come to church. Sometimes we act like we are better than others because we weather the storm and they're still in their storm. So we look down our noses at them because it don't seem like they're going to get up out of the mess. But don't you know that the same God that pulled you up out of the dirt and the mire and clay, he'll pick your brother or your sister up. He'll pick your enemy up. He'll pick that one up that don't nobody care about. It's Jesus! When I think about the seasons, we often think summer, winter, spring, and fall. We are blessed this morning to live in an area where we can see the changes and experience the different seasons that God created. But have you noticed that every one of us seemingly have our own favorite season? Some of us like the spring. Some of us like the summer. Then there are those of us like the cool breeze of autumn and fall. Few of us like the cold. But have you noticed that in your favorite season, if you be honest with yourself, it's hot, but it's not hot enough. I'm cool, but I like to be cold. Whatever happened to any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. God can't satisfy us no matter what he do. If we have a mild winter, we complain, we're going to have too many germs. But yet if it get cold and ice get on the tree, we worry, God, Lord, how am I going to pay my light bill? God can't satisfy us. Seasons. Seasons come and seasons go. But you got to understand that all of us got a season in our lives. Now, the one season that we are more familiar with is that I just talked about, one of the four natural divisions of the year. But in the tropical climate, there's only two seasons. There's either rainy season or dry season. Self-explanatory. Sometimes we need more rain, and it's the drought. Sometimes it's just so dry that everything is sort of in a danger zone. Got folk that are not mindful of where they throw their cigarette butts. And in a dry season, it can cause a whole lot of damage. But now, another thing, when we look at the term season, season is a period of the year devoted or marked by a certain activity. A period of time. Your season is when things are happening and falling into place for you. Someone said that I'm walking in my season. So if I'm walking in my season, that means that right now I feel like that I'm in the favor of a mighty God. And the reason I classify it as my season is because things are falling into place. Now do understand that even when it's your season, you're going to still have some good days and some bad days. Even when it's your season, there's going to be some folk that don't understand your faith walk. You see, there are some folk that can't understand how is it that they know that you're going through trials, trouble, and tribulation, but yet you walk with your head up high. There are those that know that there's sickness in your body, but you don't walk around with a pity party with your head hung down. You still got a smile on your face. You're still able to say everything is going to be all right because I believe that God is going to bless me in my season. Being that it is the holiday season, Jesus is the reason for the season. So I thought I would share with you a part of history of whom and how the way was paved by a man by the name of John the Baptist that prepared the people for the coming of the Messiah. Now the Bible declares that there was a king by the name of King Herod. And there in the midst of him, there was a priest by the name of Zacharias. Zacharias was one that loved God. He was married to one of Aaron's daughters by the name of Elizabeth. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth had lived a long, fruitful life. But the problem was they didn't have any children. The Bible says it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, that he was up in there and he was burning incense. He was doing what the Lord had commissioned him to do. Now, the Bible declared that while he was up burning the incense, that the whole multitude of people, they were outside and they were praying while the incense was being burnt. They appeared unto him. The Bible says, an angel of the Lord. And this angel was standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now, when Zechariah saw him, the Bible says he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Because understand, Zacharias is in this temple. He's burning incense and there's nobody else there. But all of a sudden, Zacharias looks up and behold, there is an angel of the Lord standing right there by the altar. So the Bible declared that Zacharias got a little fearful. In the midst of his fear, the Bible said, the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, understand this. The Bible declares that Zacharias and Elizabeth was old and stricken in years, and they did not have children. But now, even in the word of God, this old man is still been praying to God for a son. He never gave up hope that I'm old and my wife is old, but I can still call on God. And I can ask God for anything that I want. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, the angel said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." What is the prayer? "That thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have great joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice." What you think about it? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Brother Major Davis, Sister Vinnie Davis, in your olden golden years, now that your other children done gone, the Lord done stopped by your house, done told you, Brother Davis, that Vinny getting ready to have another baby. Do you have anything to say, Brother Davis? Because God has sent you a message. Now don't come telling me that Vinny done got too old. And you already got grandchildren. I'm God, I already know all that. But I just want to let you know that your wife going to have another baby. When God says something, I don't care who you are, don't question God. I don't care how far-fetched it may sound to the human ear. Don't question God. Because when God knows what is in your season, God realizes, Sister Vinnie, that you're old now, but God got something in store for you. He can show you that you're not quite as old as you thought. He can show you, Vinnie, that you still got it. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what God can do. God has that kind of power. No man can do it without the power of a mighty God. And when this happens, oh God, Fowl's Chapel going to be buzzing. All Lexington going to be buzzing. Have you heard what happened to Deaconess Vinnie down there at Fowl's Chapel? Oh, mother of the church done got pregnant. So it don't go all over Lexington, North Carolina. Some gonna talk about you. Some gonna criticize you. But let me tell you something, Mother Vinnie, some of them other mothers, they gonna envy you. They gonna wonder, what is it that Vinnie got that I don't have? And those that are going to be the ones that's going to be rejoicing and glad when it's time for the baby to be born. The Bible says, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Isaiah. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient the wisdom to the just. And then what this man is going to do, he's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this angel gave Zacharias the whole scope. Verse 18 says, Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this?" For I'm an old man, and my wife is stricken in years. The angel answered and said unto him, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. I come to bring you a message from the Lord this morning. And the message that I come to bring you is going to bring you glad tidings. But I want to let you know that thou shalt be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So in other words, a whole time that Elizabeth is going through, you're not even going to be able to open up your mouth. You got to understand that when God tells you something, don't let nobody hinder you from getting what God would have you to have. I come to tell you this morning that God knows what's going to happen in your season. And when we look here in the word of God, we find out that Zechariah did just what the Lord said do. The Lord said, Zechariah, when you have the child, I want you to know that he's not going to be little Zacharias. He's not going to be Zach Jr. He's not going to be any of the other names. But I got a name that I want you to call this child. The child's name shall be John. For the Bible tells me this morning that when God had blessed Elizabeth, and after Elizabeth began to have the child, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he began to talk to his child. He told him that you're going to raise up a horn of salvation, which will be a servant of the Most High God. He shall speak with his mouth of the holy prophets. He will be the one that will save the world from their sin. I want to let you know that John the Baptist is going to pave the way. You never have to worry about him doing anything wrong, because all of his life he's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. All the way from the birth of his third birth, he shall be full of the Holy Ghost. The power of God shall be upon him. I want to let you know this morning that everything is going to be all right, because I am the Lord thy God, and I know exactly what you're going through. I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that Zechariah did what the Lord said do. And then when the people saw that Zacharias and Elizabeth had conceived a boy child, they began to gather up outside the house. Said, I want to know what you're going to name the child. The Bible says somebody said his name is going to be Zacharias. But oh, Elizabeth said, oh no, his name is going to be John. But you know, you always got somebody going to have something to say about your business. There's somebody in the midst of them that I know that I don't know nobody by the name of John in that family. I want to know where John come from, because his name is Zacharias. And in that day and time when a man had a boy child, that first child was named after the man to carry on the legacy of who that man was all about. But I stopped by to tell you it was not about Zacharias, but it was about the power of a mighty God. I stopped by to tell you this morning that God will do just what he said he's going to do. When it's time for your season to come, God will bless you from on high. The Bible said that they began to look upon him. They began to draw Zacharias closer and said, I want to know, Zachariah, what do you want to name your child? Somebody gave him a pad to write down, because you know he was in that condition right now. He could not open up his mouth and speak. But the Bible said, he wrote down on the piece of paper, he said, his name shall be John. I want to let you know this morning that whenever you do what the Lord said, do. When he wrote down the name John, the Bible said his mouth broke open and he began to give praise to the Lord our God. I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that you got to do what you can while you can, while we're living in this time. We're living in a crucial time. We're living in a time when the devil is on the rampage. But I want to let somebody know this morning that if you are a child of the Most High King, don't let nobody steal your joy. There's some time when you think you're better than somebody else. But the Bible that I read this morning say, if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I want to let you know this morning that you better have a mind to trust the power of God. I want to let you know this morning that it's your season to be blessed this morning. It's your season to have the Lord in your life. Anybody know when your season come? When my season come, I'm not going to let nobody hold me back from what God has for me. I'm not going to let nobody tell me that I can't be who God wants me to be. Every now and again in your season, you have some good days and some bad days. You have some days when you might fall flat on your face. But I want to tell you to get back up and look to the hill from which cometh all of your help. Know that the Lord our God will be right there by your side. I stopped by to tell that man or woman that been going through trials and tribulations, do not be weary in your well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I stopped by to tell somebody that if you're looking for a blessing, you better get in line, because God got some blessings in store for you. Anybody come to get a blessing? Anybody come to give praise? Anybody come to give God thanks for the thing that God has done in your life? I want to thank God for being my God all by himself. I want to let you know this morning, don't never question God when it comes to talking about your season. It's your season to be blessed. It's your season to be delivered. It's your season to be healed. It's your season to be watched over, to be picked up, to be turned around, to be everything that God wants you to be. It's your season to tell the devil he's a liar, to put the devil under your feet. It's your season to rejoice and be glad. Even in the midst of death, God is worthy to be praised. Even in the midst of tragedy, God is worthy to be praised. I pray this morning for all of the parents. I pray this morning for the souls of those dear children. I pray this morning for the lost soul of our lives. I thank you. I thank you. Anybody want to thank God? Anybody got joy? Anybody got peace? Anybody got love? Anybody want to give him praise? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. God is good all the time. God is great. He's right here by our side. It's your season. It's your season to be blessed. And don't let nobody tell you when it's your season. See, somebody done missed their season. Don't sleep off your season, but you better know that God is right there and he'll do what needs to be done. It's your time to be blessed. All you have to do is trust God. Even though death, tragedy, trouble still comes, it's still a season of love, joy, and peace. It's our season to glorify God. When we say Jesus is the reason for the season, then I belong to Jesus. And because I belong to him, he has paved the way. And Jesus has made it possible that one day, all of us that believe will have eternal life. But now, you got to wait on your season. As you live your life, some of us know what it is to be in our season. And then, in the midst of your season, don't never question how God works things out. Zacharias was still blessed, but because of wavering doubt, never asked the giver, "Where or why are you giving it to me?" If I want you to have it, just say thank you. And everything's going to be all right. God is blessing in the midst of the mess that is going on. And do know that even though They're getting closer together. God still has all power in his hands. So pray for your children. Keep loving them. Don't allow them to receive a spirit of fear. But let them know that you are a child of the Most High King. And God is going to keep you in his mighty pavilion. If you are a believer, don't sit home and worry yourself all day. Put your child in the realms and the hands of a mighty God. And trust him to work everything out. He is that kind of God this morning.